This is VOA News in Washington. I'm Jeff Custer. An Iraqi militia leader has downplayed the U.S. strikes in Iraq, hinting at a de-escalation of tensions. Associated Press correspondent Karen Chamas reports.
Speaking to the Associated Press, Hussein al-Musawi, a spokesperson for Harakat al-Nujaba, one of the main Iranian-backed militias in Iraq, suggested a desire to cool down tensions in the Middle East. His comments come after the U.S. struck dozens of sites in Iraq and Syria, used by Iranian-backed militias and the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. Musawi condemned the U.S. strikes, saying the U.S. must understand that every action elicits a reaction. But he then struck a more conciliatory tone, saying that, "We do not wish to escalate or widen regional tensions." The air assault was the opening salvo of U.S. retaliation for a drone strike that killed three U.S. troops in Jordan last weekend. I'm Karen Chamas.
Meanwhile, Russia Saturday called for a U.N. Security Council meeting over the threat to peace and safety created by the U.S. airstrikes on Friday. There has been a dramatic spike in attacks by Iran's proxy groups in Iraq and Syria since the beginning of the war between Israel and Hamas in Gaza. Associated Press News Director for Syria, Lebanon, and Iraq, Abby Sewell, explains where these groups came from.
Many of these groups rose up in the power vacuum that followed the U.S. invasion of Iraq in 2003. In 2014, a group of the militias known as the Hashid al-Shaabi, or Popular Mobilization Forces, joined the fight against the Islamic State and became officially part of the Iraqi military. But in practice, they've continued to operate outside of state control. This has sometimes been a point of tension with the Iraqi government, which would prefer not to have tensions with the United States.
That's the Associated Press's Abby Sewell. This is VOA News. A case with the potential to disrupt former U.S. President Donald Trump's campaign to return to the White House will be considered by the U.S. Supreme Court this Thursday. The case comes as from a group of voters in the U.S. state of Colorado who want Trump off the state's Republican Party ballot, citing his efforts to overturn the results of the 2020 election. The group cites the 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, created following the U.S. Civil War, which prevents office holders who engaged in insurrection from returning to power. Colorado's highest state court determined that Trump incited the January 6, 2021 Capitol riot and as such is ineligible to be president and should not be on the ballot. Associated Press Supreme Court reporter Mark Sherman says it puts the U.S. Supreme Court in the middle of the 2024 U.S. presidential election.
If the Republican voters who are challenging Trump prevail in this case, it would mean the Supreme Court would rule that Trump himself is ineligible from being president and that therefore states can keep him off the ballot.
Former Pakistan Prime Minister Imran Khan and his wife Bushra Khan were sentenced to 7 years in prison and fined Saturday by a court that ruled their 2018 marriage broke the law. Reuters correspondent Lauren Anthony reports.
The Khans both denied wrongdoing. It was the third ruling against Khan this week and comes ahead of national elections on Thursday that he's barred from contesting. 71-year-old Khan has been sentenced to 10 years for leaking state secrets in recent days and 14 years, along with his wife, for illegally selling state gifts. His representatives say he will launch appeals in all three cases. Khan is in prison in the garrison city of Rawalpindi, while his wife will serve her sentence at their hilltop mansion in nearby Islamabad. He already faces a 10-year disqualification from holding public office. The couple were also fined $1,800 each, according to ARY News. Bushra was accused of not completing the waiting period mandated by Islam after divorcing her previous husband and marrying Khan.
That's Reuters correspondent Lauren Anthony reporting. Officials in Chile report intense forest fires burning around a populous area of central Chile have left at least 19 people dead and destroyed about 1,100 homes. Chile's Interior Minister Carolina Toja said Saturday 92 forest fires were burning in the center and south of the country, where temperatures have been unusually high this week. The deadliest of the fires were occurring in the region of Valparaiso, where authorities urged people not to leave their homes so fire trucks, ambulances, and other emergency vehicles can transit with greater ease. Toja did not offer any details about the 19 people killed. She said two fires near Quilpe and Villa Alemana have burned through at least 8,000 hectares. The El Nino weather pattern has caused droughts and hotter-than-usual temperatures along the west of South America this year, increasing the risk of forest fires. In Washington, I'm Jeff Custer. This is VOA News.